Welcome to What is Going Om for new thought from the edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. If there's one term that we've heard more frequently over the past 2 years than the term COVID, it's the word stress, which medicine has long known to be a primary factor in up to 90% of all diseases. Like COVID, stress is a potential killer. Unlike COVID, however, there's no vaccination that can safeguard your body against the devastating immune system suppressing effects of stress. But there are better, less invasive, and far more empowering innovations that can help you boost your health and well-being and reduce stress naturally while living more fully from your heart. To tell us about these is Gavin Andrews, the Managing Director for HeartMath in the UK and Ireland. Gavin is the founder and co-founder of two exciting new initiatives, We Add Heart, which is a growing international movement that's empowering people to connect with their heart and the hearts of others, and Syntropy States, an exciting new app that blends mesmerizing art and music therapy with science to deliver the immune-boosting benefits of breathwork, relaxation, and meditation to safely and quickly reduce stress and pain, improve cardiorespiratory function, aid sleep, regulate your emotions, and bring your body, mind, and spirit to a state of peaceful calm. Gavin Andrews, welcome.
Sandy, thank you. What a wonderful introduction. Thank you so much.
Well, what a wonderful app. This Syntropy.
Do you know what? It's causing people some problems, that word. Syntropy, yes.
So tell me, what is this word? What does it mean?
Well, do you know what? I think the word syntropy is going to be popping up more and more for people. And I think it's a really important word. I'm sure most people have heard of entropy, which is, of course, you know, basically everything turning into chaos and dying and all of that type of thing. So syntropy is actually the opposite of entropy. So syntropy, in simple terms, is the emergence of order from chaos. You know, it's actually the emergence of complexity and symmetry. So we've got syntropy all around us. You know, the world is an example of syntropy. Animals are examples of syntropy. But we tend to focus on the entropy side. Syntropy is a bit more interesting, I think. So, yeah, it's about evolution towards kind of unity and wholeness. And it's actually also about retrocausality. So it's a bit of an inversion of the, you know, time's arrow. So we think about the present being created from the past and cause and effect, but syntropy is all about actually the present being caused from the future, retrocausality. So, yeah, the main thing takeaway really is it's order from chaos, and that's what the app Syntropy aims to do.
And it does it really beautifully, I have to say. I've been playing with it quite a bit. So really, we're looking at, you know, semantics here. I mean, you think about the word medicine and how more and more people are now talking about well-being rather than medicine, because medicine has, you know, negative connotations. It's something, you know, it's a different state altogether. So entropy and syntropy, yeah, I get where you're going with this. It could well become a new word that people, you know, when you think about the energy of words, you know, there's far more positive energy in syntropy than there is in entropy.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's, I mean, the word's actually linked to coherence. So I know that you've interviewed Howard Martin before, and people probably aware of HeartMath's work and coherence. So coherence, if you like, is part of that syntropy. It's about, you know, unifying and wholeness and, yeah, the sort of, you know, systems working together, and entropy is the opposite of all that. It's about everything falling apart.
Where did all of this start for you, Gavin? I mean, I know that you work very, very closely with HeartMath. You're very interested in all of the things that we associate with HeartMath. But where does this journey start for you?
Yeah, well, the syntropy journey definitely is an outcome of everything that I've been doing with HeartMath and everything I've learned from HeartMath as well. So one of the things I'm really interested in is how we make coherence or just, you know, self-regulation, stress management, how we make it really easy for people. And of course, with HeartMath, you've got the lovely techniques and we've got the biofeedback technology as well. But actually, one of the problems with that, I think, is that if people don't really know it's there, they can't go looking for it. And also the biofeedback technology, for all that it's wonderful, it's not inexpensive. And so for many people, it's actually, you know, unfortunately, the price can be prohibitive. I like thinking of different ways to help people find this stuff out really easily and practice it easily. And that's really where Syntropy came from, was just sort of this, I was looking for something. And then around about in the mid of last year, someone that I trained, a lady called Ali, she was an artist, and I trained her because she was actually creating art using heart rate variability data. So using heart rhythms to create art. So that's how we met each other. I introduced her to the HeartMath technology, and she made this wonderful installation using the heart rhythm data. And then one day she said to me, I've been thinking about making breath pacers. And I said, I've been thinking about breath pacers as well. And she sent me a little short video, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's just so beautiful. And then synchronicity, at the same time, a friend of mine, Mark, said, I'd just like to make music using binaurals. Do you know anything about binaurals? And I said, well, I don't really know anything about them. I've got some nice stuff, but I don't know anything about them. But have you thought about making music that might create coherence? And he said, no, what's that? So we just kind of joined together and had a bit of a play. And actually, Mark just had created a bit of music that he joined with Ali's video. And Sandy, it just worked really, really well. And I thought, wow, this is something special. And I've not seen anything else like this out there. So I said to the guys, okay, let's play a bit more. And so we created a couple more videos. And we shared them with some friends and family. And everybody said, these are lovely. They find them really relaxing. Makes the breath work really easy. They're beautiful to look at. It's just sort of effortless. And then really, that was just a sign from the universe, I think, that we should just do this properly. So we decided to create a startup. And, you know, we're all doing this part-time, basically. We've all got other jobs. And from that point, Mark and Ali started working together and creating really two products. One was the breath pacers, which create the coherence. So the art expands and contracts, and the music works with the expansion and contraction as well. So they pace both visually and auditorily the breathing. So that's one product of the breath pacers. And then the other is what we call just relaxation videos. And they're just beautiful art in a mandalas and abstracts that just evolve over 4 minutes, 5 minutes or so. And you can just get lost in them. So yeah, that's really where it came from. And we thought, well, these are lovely because they're just 4 or 5 minutes long. They're easy. You know, people can download them to their computers and watch them. And that's when we decided, well, actually, what people really want is apps, because that's what everyone's using. So we basically spent the last year in our spare time creating more and more content, and then getting the app developed and launched as well. So yeah, that's the story. It was just one of those things that popped up. We followed our hearts, and lots of synchronicities occurred, and here we are. We launched the app actually last week, and it's available now.
But you have 8 second, 10 second, 12 second as an option. What is the difference between those? You know, what difference to the body does it make?
Well, actually, the three options of the breath cycles are to help people work in a way that works for them. Well, actually, in simple terms, the 8 second cycle, which is a 4 second in, 4 second out, 4 second out breath, that actually works better for kids because they need to breathe a little bit faster. So the 8 seconds works for kids. It also works for people who want to do box breathing, which is traditionally a 4 second in breath, then a 4 second hold, 4 second out breath, 4 second hold. So it plays to that as well. And then there are, you know, some people who have got breathing problems, COPD or asthma maybe, or people who have been used to breathing very rapidly and shallowly, And actually trying to force people to breathe too slowly can cause anxiety. So that shorter cycle is also available for them to begin their practice. The 10-second cycle is the sort of traditional coherence, or what's something called resonance breathing pace. So for most people, that 10-second cycle will enable them to hit their sort of optimal state, if you like. That's really the easiest way to think of coherence. It's just an optimal psychological and physiological state. So most people, we suggest, go for the 10 seconds. And then the 12 seconds, you know, we're all a bit different. Some people actually get a bit more coherent with a 12-second cycle, six in, six out. And some people who are adept at breath work, or they're very, very fit, or they're into yoga, they actually prefer a slightly slower pace as well. So that's what we wanted to do, is to specifically design the visuals and the music to operate around each of those speeds. And actually with the music, we, you know, they are three separate pieces of music adapted to those cycles. So really, yeah, it's just about making sure that it's tailored for the individual and they can get the most enjoyment out of those different paces.
But it's more than meditation and breath work, because you've got, you know, more subtly, you've got art therapy in there, and you've got sacred geometry, and you've got music therapy. Tell me about the sacred geometry, because it's wonderful, you know, to see the Merkaba or the icosahedron, the dodecahedron, the octahedron. And I mean, there are many, many people who work with the flower of life work who are very much into sacred geometry.
Well, you kind of put me on the spot there, because I'm no expert in it, actually. Ali, who creates the art, she's the one who decided to come up with that for our first series. So she's very much into the sacred geometries. As an artist, she creates intuitively. You know, she gets herself into that space where, you know, she's at one with the universe, or, you know, she's downloading, or she's connected to the field, whatever you want to call it. She's in that, you know, the flow state, in the zone. And so she would set the intention of the, you know, the geometry. And then from that place, the creativity and the design would flow. So with the breath paces, the current series, they're operating off a geometry that then evolves and expands and becomes something even more complex and beautiful, you know, like the syntropy, it becomes more complex, more beautiful, more symmetrical. With the relaxation videos, because they're not designed to pace the breath, they're just in one speed, actually. What she's created there are using again the individual geometric shape as a foundation, but then she's created these just beautiful mandalas that emerge. I mean, so sophisticated and subtle, and the movement, they're incredible. And particularly, I think the ones on that we have on the black backgrounds, we have these in both light and dark versions. The ones on the black background, if you sit in a slightly darkened room, you know, they come alive. It's almost like they're the most exquisite kind of alien jellyfish that's sort of come out of the screen at you, you know, in a nice way, not a scary way. I don't actually know anything about geometries personally, but Ali does, and she specifically designed these videos to, you know, to operate on those levels and to activate on those levels as well.
You know, I love the visuals. I mean, and this really is one of the most beautiful apps that I've ever seen. And just to sit and watch those geometries moving and, you know, evolving and changing and transforming is it's a kind of relaxing exercise in itself. Yeah. You know, I've often felt that what I would like to have going to sleep is something that is you know, projected onto my wall just like this, so I could just lie there, watch it, and drift away to it, because it's just so it's so relaxing.
They are. You know, we have had people say to us, oh my goodness, you know, I watch one of these just before bed and it really helps me to drift off. So they're operating on a number of different levels. They're a form of sort of focused attention meditation, because you're looking at this beautiful shape that just takes your attention, and you get lost in the intricacies of it, in the beauty of it. They really are mesmerizing. So that, you know, sort of takes you into that deeply relaxed state anyway. Then, like you said, there's, you know, there's an art therapy thing going on. I mean, many times art therapy is us creating art as the form of therapy. So, you know, the user isn't creating, they're receiving, but it's still operating on the same level. And the same with the music. Mark's created, you know, these beautiful soundtracks, just gorgeous soundscapes that take you into that relaxation state. And he's used very subtle binaurals. We're not trying to entrain a brain state as such, which is the binaurals are there to enhance the music. And the music moves in an eight-dimensional space as well. And then, of course, what that does is it just automatically creates a positive emotion. So you can't help but feel happy, safe, it's beautiful, you know, and we know that when we experience positive emotions, our physiology changes and our biochemicals, our hormones change and our brain activity changes. So, yeah, they're operating on a number of different levels. If you're using the breath paces, and of course the coherent breath work is putting you into balance as well. It's helping the body to go into homeostasis and, you know, helping the body do what it needs to do to balance and self-regulate and self-organize and repair all those things. So, yeah, they're art, but there's definitely some science behind it, and the effects are really profound. We've got such wonderful, wonderful testimonials from people.
Yeah, well, you know, the science is there. I mean, the science on music therapy, the science on, you know, emotions and regulation, building resilience, mental health, cognition, you know, all kinds of things. It's there, and it's about time that this happened, because there are so many people who need to relax but don't necessarily want to embrace meditation, or like me, find it very hard to meditate for long periods.
Yeah, well, that's one of the other things that I was interested in. How do we help people who kind of give up on meditation and mindfulness a bit early? Because it can be difficult, can't it? If you don't get like a quick win, or many people, you know, they expect a sort of a quick reward. And with meditation and mindfulness, often it does take time. So people give the habit up too early. And so that was another, was one of the things I was really excited about with this project, was actually just makes it easy. You don't need to try hard. You just need to sit and just lose yourself in it. And everything else, you know, works by itself. So, but yeah, you know, in that regard, it's just another tool that's out there and that sits alongside your meditation work and your other forms of breath work and yoga and all those other great tools. It just makes it easy for people who are, you know, maybe a bit overwhelmed and can't stop the thinking and all that type of, can't sit still. This type of audiovisual approach can be really helpful for those people as well.
Now, this is something that is separate from your work with HeartMath, but I'm sure they must be looking at it closely.
Well, I hope so. I mean, look, HeartMath, you know, HeartMath do what they do, and they do it very, very well. And I'm delighted to be standing on the shoulders of giants and representing them over in the UK and Ireland. And, you know, I love their products and their technology. HeartMath are focused on the biofeedback, and, you know, I hope that maybe they would be interested in integrating the synchrony stuff one day. But they're separate things, you know, and they're focusing on the development of their new products and apps and things like that. The nice thing about the synchrony app and the inner balance and the inner balance app that HeartMath have is you can use them at the same time. So the inner balance will run in the background while you're running other apps. And so we've already got people who are using the inner balance to measure their coherence, but then they're using the syntropy videos to get themselves into the coherent state. So, and what we're seeing actually is that they can achieve really high levels of coherence through using the syntropy videos. So, yeah, they go hand in hand. Maybe one day you'll see some syntropy videos in the HeartMath tech. Who knows? I'd love that to happen, but that's their choice.
I do think that this whole thing about, you know, a full experience of, you know, relaxation and meditation with sound, you know, music, art, I think it is becoming the way of the future, without a doubt.
Well, I'd hope so. Yeah, I think it's needed. And well, so look, actually, our mission, or part of our mission, is that we want to help artists to play their part in healing, you know, what is becoming a very, very stressed a very unhappy society. You know, we just see the figures all the time. The mental health figures are terrifying. Yeah. So we've a problem in society, and you know, currently the approach is to sort of medicalize our way out of it. And it's not working. It hasn't worked up till now, and it's not going to work. What we need are other tools to help people to take control of their own health. And I think art and music have been left out of that equation for far too long. And so part of what Syntropy is about is we want to empower, you know, international emerging artists to play their part in healing society. So whilst at the moment it's all our content, but Sandy, what's going to happen actually is from the 6th of March, we will be working with international artists, and we'll be releasing a video from an international artist every single week. So from now until then, it's Syntropy, new Syntropy video every single week. But from the 6th of March, we already have 14 international artists and musicians who are currently creating completely different types of art and music for the Syntropy app. So we're really excited about that because, you know, we're championing these artists. We're giving them a platform where they can actually share the beauty of their creations with a wider audience, and they can know that they're helping people. And actually, you know, we want them to be promoted to this. We want them to get better known. We want them to get commissions and, you know, to sell their artwork and stuff like that. You know, we were amazed because when we put out the open call, we didn't even have the app, so no one could even see what we did. But we put out the open call on the number of artistic platforms, and we were inundated with people saying that they'd love to work with us, and they were sending in their samples. We had 78 samples sent in. We were only actually after 14 videos to begin with. So Ali's just been through this process of going through all the submissions, and there's some just stunning work out there. And so what's going to be lovely is there'll be all these different styles, all these new emerging artists, different types of music. And so really whatever your personal artistic preference is, you know, my hope is that there'll be stuff that's appearing, you know, on a weekly basis that you're going to really get into and really resonate with, and that ultimately is going to help you with your stress as well.
Well, I if there's anybody listening who is a musician or an artist, can they still contact you and submit their work?
Well, I'd love them to. I mean, yeah, in short, you know, we need people who can create lovely videos. They're only 4-5 minutes long maximum. So that's what we're creating is it needs to be a video and the music for the video. But we, at the moment, we've got some people who've submitted art and music, so that, you know, a single artist has done both. But then we've also had artists and musicians submit separately, and we're matchmaking. So we're putting the artist together with the musician, and then they're working together. And that, you know, that's really exciting as well. And we've got great feedback from the artist saying, this is so cool. You know, I've not actually collaborated in this way with other people. So, Sandy, if anyone's listening who is an artist, yeah, I'd love to hear from them.
Good. Okay, well, we'll give details about that at the end of the show. But, you know, as you're talking, you're taking me back to my wild youth when I used to go to all the underground clubs in Covent Garden. And we're talking about psychedelia. And, you know, you'd have the music playing and you'd have, obviously, all the psychedelic images on the walls. I mean, you could do something, you know, with this in the same way, with different kinds of music for the young.
Yeah, well, that's something we've been thinking about as well, is how do we bring this to life outside of the app? So we've got some ideas for some events that we can run sort of online, like broadcast, you know, through the internet, we can broadcast like that. But we've actually just been invited to go to a big event in Greece, leadership event in Greece, where we're going to be, it's a hybrid event. So there's people there physically, but there's also people online. And we'll be playing some of the videos on a great big screen. And that will also be live cast as well to those people who are joining online. So I'd love to. We've got the potential to be invited to a couple of other artistic events as well. Ali's already demonstrated to groups of artists on a big screen. That would be cool. And it's a great way, I think, to maybe get the young folk involved. You said sounding like a very old man.
It's especially, you know, they need something. They need something that's cool and that's of their generation. Yeah. And that involves, you know, all of this and technology. And, you know, so many of them are looking, you know, for their thing. That to be able to do that and also to have a physical effect, you know, on their hearts, their bodies, their minds, their spirits. Yeah. I just think that would be amazing. Amazing.
Well, if we could inspire young people to make, you know, their own art and music for their own benefit and the benefit of their friends, you know, that would be great. And actually, some of the artists who've submitted to us, you know, they're in their 20s anyway. In fact, we've got a teenager who submitted something. She's from Mexico, and it's incredible. So already we've got some of the younger folk submitting. But yeah, I mean, if we could stimulate something where it became a bit of a thing, you know, young creative people creating these for themselves and their friends, that would be amazing.
Wouldn't it just? We're going to take a short break now, Gavin. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgemere, and I'm speaking with the Managing Director for HeartMath in the UK and Ireland, Gavin Andrews. We're talking about his latest two projects, the growing international movement We Add Heart and Syntropy States, an exciting new app that blends mesmerising art and music therapy with science to deliver the stress-reducing, immune boosting and pain relieving benefits of breath work, relaxation and meditation. We'll be back with more from Gavin Andrews after the break.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times flagship radio show, What Is Going On? And my passion is helping people like you find credible answers to your deepest spiritual questions. As an author, editor, TV radio host, and 13 times book judge, I've read thousands of books and interviewed hundreds of authors, so I know what's worth reading and what's not, which is why I founded the No BS Spiritual Book Club, to help you save time and money by picking the brains of discerning names who've walked this path before you. There's no catch, no joining fees, and no BS. Just an ever-growing library of the 10 best spiritual books that helped some of your favourite authors and teachers on their life paths, along with free book excerpts, audios, and video podcasts in which they share the intimate stories behind their lists and their journeys. Regardless of where you're at on your evolutionary journey, you'll find dozens of enlightening and empowering recommendations at the No BS Spiritual Book Club. People like Dan Millman, Don Miguel Ruiz Jr., David G., Yanda Van Zandt, Lee Harris, Mark Nepo, Emmanuel Dagger, Diva Primo, and Meetin, and many more. So why not join the club? It's easy and it's free at the No BS Spiritual Book Club.com.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back. Before we resume this week's conversation, here's a suggestion for those of you who struggle with making important decisions. There's an inspiring book I'd invite you to check out. It's called The Necktie and the Jaguar, and it's by retired clinical psychologist, Jungian analyst, and shamanic practitioner Carl Greer. In addition to revealing how he tapped into the wisdom and power of unseen worlds for guidance and inspiration, Carl Greer's fascinating memoir offers some valuable keys and questions that inspire the kind of thinking that guides you effortlessly on your own path to transformation. You can check it out for yourself at carlgreer.com. And now back to Gavin Andrews. Gavin,
hello.
Syntropy is one thing. You're also the founder of We Add Heart. So I don't know what you're drinking lately, but you seem to be raring to go creating all of these new initiatives that are offering great hope and, you know, great experiences for people. So tell me about We Add Heart. What is it? And how did you think of it?
So We Add Heart is a very simple idea. It's a monthly online heart-focused meditation, or rather it's multiple ones, because the idea is that we've got lots and lots of groups all around the world who are doing these meditations at the same time. So at the moment it's the HeartMath Coach community, the Global HeartMath Coach community, who are facilitating these groups. They're across 35 different countries. And on the last Wednesday of each month, for 35 minutes, those coaches run the meditation, which is a really, really simple coherence meditation, lots and lots of heart focus, lots and lots of sending care, appreciation and compassion out to the world. And the idea is that, they have their small groups. Some groups are as few as five people. There are some big groups, but most are sort of anywhere between 5 and 15 people. And it's a lovely, lovely experience of people just coming together, connecting into their hearts, connecting with the hearts of everyone else in the Zoom room, and then engaging in the coherence meditations and sending that wonderful coherence out into the world as well. So that's basically what it is in terms of the format, at least.
So, I mean, is there a community aspect here? I mean, do the people after the sessions, do they stay online and gather and talk and get to, meet like-minded people?
Well, some do. So the reason it's 35 minutes is we wanted to make this really simple for all of our coaches, and we didn't want them to incur any costs. So as you probably know, Zoom will let you have 40 minutes free of charge. So mm-hmm. for the people who've got the free version of Zoom, it tends to be that, they run the session and then they say goodbye to each other and that's it, wrap it up. But for people who actually have the paid version of Zoom, don't need to worry about time. Often, yes, those groups stay together and they share, like a sharing circle, or they have just a conversation. So, different groups do different things. Generally, it's something that people take part in really just because they want, the quiet, and they really want to be able to quietly focus in the heart. So I think for most of our participants, they're probably actually less interested in the community side of it, other than feeling that, they're doing this at the same time as other people. That's the community feel of it. But it's not really about, for most people, disclosing or sharing or anything like that. It's just very, very much a kind of quiet time of connection.
Now, you launched this before COVID, and you've said that COVID nearly killed it off, but then actually boosted the movement. How did that happen?
So the initial idea was, I'd just been thinking of ways to try and get the HeartMath stuff out there to people who hadn't really heard of it and who were unlikely to hear about HeartMath because they, weren't looking in the right places. So I was thinking, but how can we maybe get people to realize that connecting with their heart would be enjoyable and beneficial? And so initially, we just set up in London one group, myself and my friend Chang, we ran it, and we got people coming into bank in the financial district of London, and we had sort of 20-30 people coming and sitting together. And we worked out the process. We decided to simplify, and it worked really nicely. So we ran a few of them, Sandy. People were turning up again and again. And then we said to some of our coaches, well, let's expand it out a bit. Maybe five or six of you would like to set up your own group. So they did that, and they reported that it was great. And then we thought, brilliant, we're in the position now where we can roll this out to the whole of the community. We can make it easy. We've got a structure. We've got some lovely promotional material they can use. And then COVID came along, of course. And we weren't allowed to meet together in rooms and things like that. So, yeah, that we thought then, oh, God, that's it. It's killed it off, because it's really lovely to sit in a room together and experience that shared coherence. And then Chang and I thought, well, actually, maybe not. Maybe we could do this. Maybe it would actually work online. And we thought, well, you know, a lot of people are experiencing loneliness in lockdown. We should give this a go and see if it could work. So we put it out to our coaches as well. And then lo and behold, Sandy, so many people were up for doing it online, because it was just easier. You didn't have to find a room or anything like that. And you didn't have to worry about how many people would turn up. So for March of 2020, when we ran the first one of these online, we had 50 groups immediately. I couldn't believe it. And then from that point, we just invited more and more of the Heartworth Coach community to get involved. You know, they could attend one so they could experience what it was like. And they thought, well, that's great. I want to play my part now. I want to put something out there to help people who are sat at home on their own, getting lonely and worried about, you know, what's happening to the world, and stressed and anxious. And so we scaled up pretty rapidly. And we then got our colleagues in Heartworth Germany and Heartworth Benelux involved, Heartworth Netherlands. So we were adding some groups there. We got a small coach community in Greece as well, and they were up for it. So we sort of stumbled through the happen chance. I mean, you know, in hindsight, it was a synchronicity. But, it just took off because of COVID and because it just was easy to do it online. So,
and you're taking it into the US?
So now we're taking it into the US. So... yeah, HeartMath US have said, this is great. We want to be involved as well. So we're just working out at the moment the best way to open it up to all of their coaches, because the US has got the largest community of HeartMath coaches. They've got thousands. So, yeah, we need to work out how we open it up to them and onboard them. So there'll be a lot more groups in the US. At the moment, I think there's only 5 or 10 groups in the US, but that's going to explode over the next few months. And then we're entertaining the idea of, well, if this really proves to be something that's popular, and, you know, perhaps the world needs this, then how do we make this available to other people as well, who aren't necessarily HeartMath coaches, but other people who've done other HeartMath programs, and then potentially, you know, one day even anyone that just wants to run a group, because it's so easy to do, Sandy. I mean, we provide all the promotional materials for our coaches. We even give them a script if they're holding some tension around, or I'm nervous about doing this, you know, and I might forget what to say. We actually provide a script that they can follow if they need that. So, yeah, really anyone who had a passion could run one of these groups. We're not at that stage yet, so that's not, unfortunately, an open invitation at the moment. But I do hope that one day in the not-too-distant future, anybody who wanted to facilitate a group could do that and offer it to people in their area.
It also lends itself very well to any kind of gathering. I mean, you know, whatever people gather for, there's no reason why you couldn't have something like this at the beginning of it, just, you know, to center everybody's energy and get everybody into, you know, a coherent place.
Yeah, well, we've got a couple of people who are offering it in their organizations. So they're doing that, you know, before either real or virtual meetings. So they're offering this to people. Some of the people that we trained are in the National Health Service in the UK, and they're talking about offering this to staff, but also potentially to patients. So I think that's another thing that's sort of emerging out of this, is people are identifying that there are other situations and other ways that you could do this, which is really exciting. You know, it shows that we must be onto something if it's emerging in this way.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It seems both of your projects seem to be bang on target time-wise. You know, the synchronicity is there to make these explode. I'm curious to know, Gavin, I mean, Before you found a heart math, what were you doing?
Okay. Well, that's a very different life. I used to work in the media. I was in the newspaper industry, and I was in the commercial side of that. So I used to run a team that sold, you know, marketing ideas to big brands. Yeah, very different life, very much a kind of corporate existence. Yeah.
And what happened to change things for you?
Well, I never really felt part of that world anyway, I don't think. It was very good to me, and I did well, and I learned lots of wonderful things, and I worked for some nice organizations actually. But I had a wake up call. I was married before. My first wife passed away of breast cancer, and she was very young. She was only 32. I was very young. I was only 30, and the process of her illness and her passing woke me up really. And after she passed, I just realised, look, I can't do this anymore. I don't really know who I am. I don't really know what's important anymore. I know that I've lost someone that was important, and I recognise that what I'm doing for my work is not important to me, really, in my heart. And so, yeah, I was sort of a crucible period in my life when I was lost and grieving and realised that I needed to find a way to reinvent myself and sort of regain some meaning in my life. So that is why I left that world behind. And I didn't really know what to do with myself. And somehow I decided, well, I'm going to go back to university. And I had a bit of a chip on my shoulder, actually, from my not very impressive former education. And I went back to university and I did a master's degree in business, an MBA. I still really don't know why I did that. But anyway, I did. And on the MBA, of all the things I studied, I got really interested in leadership. But it wasn't leadership from sort of a business perspective of how you make lots of money from a business. It was more around what is leadership? You know, who is a leader? What does it mean to be a leader? And I was really, really lucky because on my MBA, there was a focus on authentic leadership, on emotional intelligence, on values-led leadership. I had a wonderful lecturer, Jenny, who was very passionate about, you know, creating new leaders. And so she exposed me to all of this material. And I just thought, wow, okay, I had no idea what a leader really was. And now I know it's about self-leadership. And actually, I'm not leading myself. I don't know who I am. So I sort of started this journey of self-discovery. And I really resonated with the ideas of authentic leadership and emotional intelligence. And what I realized was I knew all the theories, and I could even write, you know, wonderful essays and get distinctions and stuff, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't do the emotional intelligence. I would consistently say and do stupid things when I was stressed, and I was sort of a catastrophizer and a worrier and a really anxious person. And it was then I actually discovered HeartMath. So it's strange, you know, how this all emerged out of a very challenging time in my life. That's what... I found myself finding myself. And yeah, I went to a weird presentation one day called The Physiology of Leadership. And that's where I was introduced to HeartMath. So a guy called Andy Pellant, who's my business partner now in HeartMath UK, he did a presentation all about leadership and emotional intelligence and how actually it's very difficult to lead yourself when you're stressed and anxious. And that, you know, if you can get yourself into the state of coherence, then actually you can connect with your heart. And then when you're connected with your heart, you can make much, much better decisions about what you should do, shouldn't do, how you should behave, where you should put your energy, your passion, etc. So, yeah, I discovered the sort of new part of my life initially there. I started to practice the HeartMath techniques, and they really benefited me in terms of my own stress and anxiety, my own journey out of the other side of my grieving. And I then entered this new life as a university lecturer and a coach and a leadership consultant and trainer. And I started to bring the heart math stuff into that and the coherence work into that, alongside all the traditional management leadership stuff. And it was always the bits of the training and the program, the coaching that people said they enjoyed the most. Mm-hmm. So that's really when I discovered, well, this is where my passion and my purpose lies. It's in something that I've discovered for myself, that I'm practicing for myself, you know, that I'm living daily. I was doing the practice every single day. And that's why when I share it with other people, it resonates with them and they like it. So, yeah, that was the start then of all of this. And then a few years later, I was lucky enough to be connected with the Heartmath US guys, with Andy, and we started to represent them over here.
You know, now I understand why you're so passionate about creating things like We Ed Heart and Syntropy, because you want to give people the experiences that you've had.
Yeah, ultimately. I know the benefit of it personally. And even though I've had a challenge in my life, I am a happier and healthier person than I was previously, before I knew any of this. And while I was caught up in the programming around, you know, what I thought I should be doing and what I thought success and happiness looked like. So the difficult challenge was actually ultimately what led me to living my purpose and passion right now.
I don't think one can go into something like HeartMath and not emerge from it with, you know, some idea of, you know, higher consciousness, you know, the quantum field, you know, that we're all connected, and it has to be a life-changing experience, I believe, if you get really involved in something like HeartMath, because it demonstrates, all the research demonstrates how much, you know, we are connected, and also the power that we have to change things. Were you, before you discovered HeartMath, were you somebody who was a spiritual seeker?
I absolutely was a spiritual seeker, seeking all over the place, actually, and not sticking with anything. But I definitely was and have been. I've always, you know, resonated with those ideas of, you know, who am I, who are we, why are we here, those types of things. I've always really enjoyed your science fiction that asked those types of questions and that twisted our ideas of reality and the way things work. And from a, you know, relatively young age, I was reading, you know, different types of spiritual books as well. So, yeah, it's always been there, but it wasn't something that, you know, I stuck with. I didn't discover enough about myself until the wake-up experience in my early 30s as a result of losing Val, my first wife. So, yeah, it was always there, though, Sandy. Definitely was always there.
Where do you think the technology that you're playing with can go? I mean, what's beyond Syntropy?
Well, I tell you where it's going to go. There's another project that I'm involved in, unbelievably. But so there's a gentleman called Peter Granger who is doing some work at the moment around synchronization between people and measuring that synchronization through heart rate variability. So obviously HeartMath are involved in this type of thing as well, and they're doing it with groups and some incredible research, actually. Peter and I we have a particular interest in pairs. We're kind of like starting smaller. So we're working on that, and, you know, HeartMath are doing the groups thing. And I think that's where the technology is going to be going next, is actually validating the connection. Now, we know that heart rhythms, they synchronize when you really feel connection with others. And Peter's research in particular indicates that you can be intentional about that. It's not just about, you know, happening to like someone or love someone and kind of like being in rapport. Actually, you can initiate it, and you can, according to the research that we're seeing so far that Peter's engaged in, you can entrain someone else into your synchronization. So by feeling, you know, love, care, appreciation, passion for another person, and actually being coherent yourself, that can impact another person locally, but also, Sandy, you know, we've got some pretty wild evidence that this stuff operates non-locally as well.
Yes.
And that's where I think the technology can be really exciting, because there's an opportunity then to, you know, to challenge that materialist paradigm that says basically, you know, a thought can't change a thing. I'm sure that you and most of your listeners would disagree with that. And
absolutely.
And there's an opportunity here to evidence that. It's like, well, if, you know, if people's heart rhythms are changing, you know, correlating with one person feeling care and appreciation for another person who's over the other side of the world, and their heart rhythms are changing at that point in time, you know, there's something going on. And whilst, you know, correlation is not causation, it's very interesting.
Well, you know, we hear a lot these days about the intention experiments Lynn McTaggart's doing. And before that, you know, Professor William Tiller, who was a friend of mine, he was able to change the pH balance of water, sending an intention from his lab in Arizona to a laboratory in Germany. And, you know, statistically significant results. If you can do that with intention, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what you come up with next, without a doubt.
Well, the nice thing with the biofeedback tech is it's very, you know, it's very cheap and simple, so everyone can get involved in that type of thing, actually.
Yeah. Brilliant. Beautiful. I love where the technology is taking us. Gavin, we've only got a couple of minutes left. Tell me, let's go back to Syntropy. People can get it from the App Store. Presumably there is a charge for this. What does it cost?
Well, so you get 7 days absolutely free, so you can sample it to your heart's delight. So either on the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, it's available. So you get 7 days free. You have to, you kind of sign up at the start, but you don't get charged anything. So you get your 7 days, and then you get asked the question, do you want to continue? If you don't, that's it. It ends. Or if you do, then it is £2.99 per month, or £29.99 per year. And you get for that the existing library that's in there, and then you get a brand new video every single week. So we've intentionally priced this at a point where we hope most people who are interested in it could afford it. You know, it's not far off the price of a cup of coffee a month. So it's about $3.50 or something a month, and it's available internationally. Apple will do all the exchange rates, so you don't pay in pounds. And if you go for the monthly, obviously you can cancel any time. If you go for the annual, I believe you have a 30-day window and you can cancel as well. So no pressure. If people like it, they'll want it, and if they don't, then it's not for them. But even if you don't want it, we'll send you a free video as well. That's one of the things that we're doing, is we'll send a free video. So people just need to search for Syntropy, and it will pop up.
Syntropy.
Opy, correct.
And where can budding musicians who want to engage with you, or artists, where can they contact you?
Just email info@syntropystates, all one word, syntropystates.com, info@syntropystates.com, and we'll pick that up.
Okay. Gavin Andrews, thank you so much for joining us today. I love your app. I really do.
Well, Sandy, can I tell people how to join We Add Heart as well? That's simple.
Oh, of course. Go ahead. Make it quick, though.
All they need to do is go to weaddheart.com, and then you'll see a global map there. Find somewhere near you, or find somewhere over the other side of the world, and join a group. Simple as that. No cost, absolutely free.
Great. Thank you very much, Gavin. I wish you every success. You deserve it.
Thank you, Sandy. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. So you can find more information about We Add Heart at weaddheart.com, Syntropy States app at syntropystates.com. I'm tripping over my words here. And of course, if you're interested in learning more about HeartMath in the UK and Ireland, you can visit www.heartmath.co.uk. For more information about the No BS Spiritual Book Club and our live streaming interviews with contributors, visit sedgbeer.com, click on the No BS Spiritual Book Club tab, and you can sign up to be the first to see the latest lists and who's being interviewed next. I'll be back at the same time next week with another edition of What Is Going On. Till then, it's goodbye from me.